The Tree of Life is even better than I thought. I mean, I thought it was great. I thought the Tree of Life was phenomenal enough. And I know we're not here yet in the unveiling because it's in chapter 22. We're still on chapter 20. We're still at the Great White Throne, ready to go into the Lake of Fire, fearlessly go into the Lake of Fire. But I have to read something to you about this epic thing. But first of all, I'd like again to acknowledge Selena, our new show producer tweaker. Now, Kelly's the producer. My sister Kelly in Canton, Ohio is the producer. But Selena puts the titles on the show, gets the volume right, and does the MP3 file underneath the video so that you can save and carry, take this show, the audio portion of it, and listen to it while you drive. Makes the hours just while away. So good morning. Thank you, Selena. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender. Now, this is even better than I thought. I can't help dipping into this. I know we're not there yet. I'll give you more details when we do get here. But in Revelation 22, starting with verse 1, listen to this. And he shows me a river of water of life. What a contrast to what the waters became in the unveiling. Remember, the waters were fouled purposely by God so that they became undrinkable. And this is to bring people to their senses, to make them aware that there is a God in heaven. He's no longer hiding. And to produce eventually this river of water of life, resplendent as crystal. That's so different than like wormwood and absinthe and waters becoming fouled. And also, I want you to know that this new earth is the answer to Eden. This is the new Garden of Eden. In the center of its square and on either side of the river is the log of life. I called it the Tree of Life because I just can't bring myself to call it the log of life, even though technically it is a log. And I'm going to tell you why that's significant. Maybe I'll save it. It's so good. The Concordant version is so good here, log of life, because it's dead wood. It's dead wood. It's a log of life. But it still produces. It's a miracle. I'm going to tell you why that's significant. Probably going to wait until we get here, but it's a great translation. I'm telling you, it's true. It's a true translation. I just don't like it. It's not melodious to me, but at least I make you aware of the truth. But I'm going to continue to call it the Tree of Life, even though technically it's a dead piece of wood. This dead piece of wood, by a miracle of God, produces 12 fruits, rendering its fruit in accord with each month. And the leaves of the log are for the cure of the nations. Most versions will say the healing of the nations. But this is not the case. It's even better than healing. This is what I have to tell you before I get back to Mr. A. Enoch and his translation of the down judgment, or each is condemned in accord with his acts. Okay. The cure of the nations. The Greek word here. Let me put a bookmark here. I'm going to tell you the Greek word here for cure. It's better than healing. I like healing though, but cure works. The Greek word is therapeuon. I can't pronounce it correctly. Maybe I am by some accident. I might be pronouncing it correctly. Therapeuon. It's the root word that we get therapy. Yes, and the elements are, as I told you yesterday, warm from. And so it is the therapy of the nations, and it is the leaves, not the fruit. I told you it was the fruit. There's still going to be much fruit to be enjoyed by those on the new earth, but apparently the fruit is going to be more for their delight, more because it produces different fruit each in its own month, right? Producing fruit in accord with each month. So there's going to be a different fruit from the same tree. This is a trick we have not perfected here today on this earth. Nobody can produce from one tree an apple and an orange and then a lemon and then a watermelon. Watermelons don't grow on trees according to rumors, but what do I know? I'm not the agricultural type. So this is phenomenal, I think, because one product of the log of life is for enjoyment, is for the refreshment of the soul, and another part of the log of life, the leaves, just like the aloe vera plant or any other leaf from any tree. It's rich, rich, rich in healing nutrients. Many herbs come from plants, not necessarily from the fruit of the plants, but from the plant itself, the greenery. We all live because of green things, and this is going to be even more potent and powerful, which is, Mr. Thesaurus here, in and on the new earth, because the nations are going to receive therapy from it. So this strengthens my contention, my insistence, that people will be kept alive, you might say, not artificially, but from outside. They won't have eternal life within them, except, of course, for the Israelites. Because I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I really want to talk about the new earth, because this is what God's been driving for through the entire Aeonian times. And this is why I believe the new earth is going to be the longest eon of all the eons. We don't know how long the first eon was. We won't know how long this... Wait a minute. Do we know how long the second eon was? Sure. Yeah, if we can know the years between Adam and Noah, then we do know how long the second eon was. The third eon, the one we're in now, we will not know how long it is until it ends. And it ends with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. And we know the fourth eon is 1,000 years, but that last eon is going to... It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But it's still an Israelite situation, because Israel rules as kings on the new earth. So as long as you're talking earth, here's the key. Listen to this, because this makes sense, and which makes sense that it would make sense, because I make sense for a living. Anytime you hear the word earth, you must think Israel first, because on earth, Israel will always have preeminence, and I don't care which earth you're on, unless you're on the first earth, which was disrupted, bringing about the recreation of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So I will make that one caveat that on Earths 2 and 3, and we only have 3 Earths in the Aeonian time, 5 eons, 5 cosmoses, if I can crudely put in the plural of cosmos there. Cosmosi? No. We have 5 eons, but we only have 3 Earths. So it is the second and the third Earth that will always have Israel as the preeminent people, and other people will subserve Israel, because in the city, as we are going to see, there are 12 gates with the names of the apostles of Jesus Christ. It's one of the two. There's 12 gates and 12 foundations. On one, there's the names of the 12 tribes, and one's the names of the apostles. I think the foundation has the names of the apostles, and the gates have the names of the tribes. I will make sure that you have that clear in your mind when we get here, after I get it clear in my mind. So, back to Revelation 20, if that's what I want to do. Let me make sure here. Let me make a quick reference to my notes. Oh, you know, this is funny. People say to me, Martin, how is God going to transfer people from the great white throne to the new earth? You say that there's going to be there's many, many people who are written in the book of life, Martin, and they are there. They're not going to go to the second death, which is lake of fire. How is he going to transfer them to the new earth? It sounds hard, Martin. Is it going to be a shuttle bus like at the airport when I go from terminal C to terminal D? Is it going to be like Chicago O'Hare? Are they going to get on a shuttle and go to the new earth? We need to understand. Well, no, you don't. You only need to accept it. This is one of those things where God is going to do it. And for one thing, I ask you this. How are dead people raised? Martin, they were just dead, and now they're standing at the great white throne. My mind is blown. How did it happen? I don't know. How inscrutable are God's ways, right? Romans 11, 35, 36. Inscrutable. I mean, we don't know how he does stuff, but we don't have to know. But he does tell us that he does do stuff. He tells us what he does. This is it. He tells us what he does, but he doesn't tell us how he does it. His ways are past finding out. The mechanics of how dead people raise, I don't know. Okay, nobody on earth has been able to reproduce it in a laboratory to bring life out of death. Nobody's been able to do it. Only God can do it. So how are dead people standing? And where are they? They're not on the earth because heaven and earth has fled. at least the third heaven, no, the second heaven and earth have fled. I need to tell you this. Every earth, and I told you there are three earths during the Aeonian times, every earth has a corresponding heaven, right? Heaven and earth, they're always played against one another. Two realms, there's only those two realms, heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the heavens, you know, there are different layers of the atmosphere. Troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, exosphere. Yes, but it's still referred to the heavens, and each heavens has a corresponding earth. Likewise, each eon has a corresponding cosmos, the system that exists during the period of time. The cosmos is the system, how things are working, and the eon is the time period during which those particular things are working. Five eons, five systems, three earths, three heavens. And so heaven and earth, the second heaven and the second earth have fled. How are the people standing, Martin? I don't know. How are they transferred, Martin? Is it a shuttle bus? I don't know if it's a shuttle bus. I don't think it is. They just go there. This is where faith comes in. This is where God simply loves to be believed. And the human mind says, well, I can't understand. It doesn't matter if you can't understand how it happens. This is where faith comes in. And this is where the faithless declaration comes in that I've heard someone say, a friend of mine say, that they don't understand how God, why God would destroy a third of the earth, why God would foul a third of the waters, destroy a third of the sea, because then he'd have a wrecked earth, and how is it, where are the nations that are going, and they're trying to figure out all these details instead of simply believing what God says and just details be damned. I don't know how he got, I'm just going to believe what he said. If he says he's going to wreck a third of the earth, I'm not going to sit here and go, but if he did that, that would mean that, and then how could God, he's going to just believe what he says and then let God figure out the rest. His ways are unsearchable. We can search his purpose. We can search his results. We can believe what he says he's going to do, but it doesn't mean you have to figure out all the details. Now, listen to Enoch kind of hedges his bets here. I'm going to make sure I go to the right place. Go to the verse about healing of the nations. I did that. Enoch seems, if anyone was not found, oh yeah, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. So it sounds to me very odd if anyone's name is not there. It seems like it's the exception if you're not there. And another scroll was opened, the scroll of life. I'm in verse 12 of Revelation 20. Another book was written. Another book was opened. Where is it? Yes, the scroll of life and the dead were judged by that which is written in the scroll. See, he got judged right here, Enoch did. But that one troublesome little manuscript, Sinaiticus, put kata in front of judged in this second part, which I'm going to give to you here soon. And the dead were judged by that which is written in the scrolls in accord with their acts. The sea gives up the dead in it, and death and the unseen give up the dead in them, and they were condemned, each in accord with their acts. And death and the unseen were cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to get to that. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found written in the scroll of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. If anyone was not found written, to me, the wording there sounds like, what? Someone's not written in the book of life? Wow, they must have been a primo sinner. They must have done a lot of bad acts, because remember, people are judged in accord with their acts. And if anyone was found not written in the book of life, and it's going to be a shock. What? There are people not written in the book of life, so that's going to be the exception. Now, listen to Mr. Enoch's word in his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now, I've read this book, obviously, and suddenly to me, he begins hedging his bets, and he uses the word seems a lot, where he didn't do that before throughout the book. He writes, and I shared some of this with you yesterday, no one whose name is in the scroll of life will have any part in this judgment, for these are not merely judged, but condemned. 20:13. It is true that most of the manuscripts read judged. You should have used it. Adolf, that's his name, Adolf Ernst Enoch. Adolf, you should have put judged here. But Sinaiticus seems, that's the first seems, seems more likely to be right here, as the preceding chi, K-A-I, may easily lead to the omission of the prefix cat. So here Nock is assuming that the translator of the other two manuscripts, Alexandrinus and Vaticanus, had bad eyesight, and they should have realized that it was cat there, but they saw that connective chi, and they went with it and ignored cat, K-A-T. I think that's a bit of a stretch, and the cat would change judge to down judge had it been present in Sinaiticus or condemned. This is not the resurrection of life. It is not a vivification. It is utterly ignored when the apostle recounts the three classes to be made alive. How shall we reconcile, Nock goes on, the concluding statement with these facts? And if anyone was not found written in the scroll of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Does not this seem to imply that some who appear before the great white throne escape the second death? Well, I think it more than seems here because of the translation, but let's go on. By no means. There is another and better reason why the matter is put thus. The scroll of life seems to have reference only to God's earthly people. Now, this to me is absurd, that the scroll of life contains only the names of Israelites. The scroll of life seems to have reference only to God's earthly people. Moses seems to refer to it. Can you believe this? This word seems appear more on this page, page 521 of the Unveiling of Jesus Christ, written by A.E. Nock, than in any other place in this book, because I've read the book a couple times, three times, several times. And he says it again. This is phenomenal. The scroll of life seems to have reference only to God's people. Moses seems to refer to it when he pleads with God for Israel. He asks to be blotted out of his book to save the sinners. This is the reference there is Exodus 32:32 for all you fans of the Hebrew scriptures. But Jehovah said that he would blot out those who had sinned. It seems, there it is again, as if almost all who came out of Egypt were blotted out and will not be found in the book of life when they stand before the great white throne. The same thing seems to appear in this judgment era. it's a virus. The word seems is a virus here. And it's so uncharacteristic of Mr. Nock that I think clearly here he is hedging his bet. I won't even say it seems like he's hedging his bet. He is hedging his bet. So the great one, A.E. Nock himself, is not sure. He's not completely confident in his translation of Unveiling 2013 that it should be, then they were condemned each in accord with their acts. Before I close this show, I want to make sure you understand the import of this. If the word there is condemned, each were condemned, each person, every single person, the billions and billions and trillions of people standing at the great white throne, each, this is a huge word to translate correctly. Each were condemned in accord with their acts. But wait a minute. Some have good acts. We read in Romans 2 that some had good acts who, in accord with good acts, are paid life aeonian. And then there are those with bad acts who are paid affliction and distress to every soul that is effecting evil. So that was the parallel passage. Remember Romans 2? So now we come here, and now he said that everyone judged according to their acts, everyone is condemned. But wait a minute. What about the people who had good acts? Because the judgment here is according to acts. And what about the opening of the book of life? It seems a travesty. It seems a redundancy to open it if there's no name written there. And so it's hugely important because we're dealing with the judgment of everybody. So now everybody that has not been vivified up to this point, which is a ton of people. But if you translate this like two of the three manuscripts had, each is judged in accord with their acts, then there is much room there. There is room there for good judgment, not a catacrino, but a good plain old crino, a plain old judgment, which, again, deferring back to Romans 2, is based on acts, and some acts are better than others. So how can you? I know the adjustment's going to be made in life, but it just to me, throws a wrench into the whirling, swirling wheels of God's great plan here. These are my thoughts. I've just shared with you the thoughts of A.E. Nock. I do not agree, of course, with everything Mr. Nock writes. I have my own thinker up here. You have your own thinker out there. And the fate of billions rests on this word, relatively speaking. We know ultimately it rests on God. And no matter what happens, God's going to do the right thing.